We invite you to visit Maserati Jacksonville today for a personalized luxury driving experience like no other. Plus, for a limited time, take advantage of our historically low interest rates. Visit online at MaseratiJacksonville.com.
That's what we're supposed to be doing. You know, so this is our job. And it feels great when we out there doing what we love. We playing with the people that we love, you know what I'm saying? Playing with people right to the left and right of me that I know if I mess up, they're going to have my back.
Josh Allen keeps it on the quarterback keeper, and a nice job by DeJuan Smooth. Did the ball come out?
It did.
The ball came out after the tackle.
Josh
and
Allen.
And the Jags have it. DeJuan Smooth forced it, and the Jags take over.
Oh, yeah, we definitely got a lot of momentum going, but we just got to stay locked in more than anything. We just got to make sure that we pay attention to the game plan and making sure we all coming together.
Well, last week we saw what the defense is capable of.
Dropping the throw. Looking. Scrambling to his right now. Still looking downfield. Lots of time. Now Smooth forces the issue. That ball is going to be incomplete. Incomplete. The Jags will take over on down.
In another week, we saw what Trevor Lawrence is able to do.
Play fake. Lawrence keeps it. Made a man miss. Dives to the end zone. Touchdown. Trevor ran it in himself.
The week when Agnew ran at the field goal back, we saw what the special teams is able to do.
He kicks it. It will be short, and Jamal's going to bring it out of there. To the 5, to the 10, to the near sideline, 20-yard line. Jamal Agnew still on his feet. Jamal Agnew broke a tackle to midfield along the left sideline. Jamal Agnew, he's still in bounds. He's still in bounds. He's going to score. Jamal Agnew brought it all the way back. Touchdown, Jacksonville!
So all the guys got to do now is about bringing it all together. How can we do this all together now? How can we execute this game plan all together? And it's possible. And that's the optimism that players and coaches have going into each game. And it's just a matter of just executing.
You know, just start stacking them. You know, there's a lot of games left, and the more wins we get, the better it is. So, you know. Start here, and then next week, and then the week after that, and then hopefully you can just stack them on all the way out.
FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, Mike DeRocco, and E to the T.
All right, good morning, everybody. D-Rock in today. David Garrard's got the week off with the holidays upon us, so it's a short week, and
it's a special week.
It is a special week. I'll get it out of the way.
Because I'm here.
The only team that performed worse than the Jaguars yesterday was mine. Although I did outscore the San Francisco 49ers, I'll have you know.
Boom.
So I bought breakfast for the crew, even though it's not breakfast bowl day. I'm that kind of guy. Because Tony said on Twitter, you know, I'm buying breakfast. Wonder what Mike's buying. I thought last week we discussed instead with Thanksgiving week a charitable donation in place of breakfast. So know that every bite you enjoy comes out of the mouth of a needy child today. E and D-Rock and Tony. And
so
that's
Taylor.
The poison that I specifically mentioned. It's this moral poison that you're trying
poison.
To throw at all of us.
I mean,
yeah,
the food's fine. It's, uh-huh. I'm sure it was delicious. Uh-huh. And just came from a kid who needed it more than you. But that's all right.
Hey, winners got to eat too.
It's fine. I'm sure you're thankful that you have it and that child doesn't.
You going to tell everybody
good.
The number?
37. And change, I think. I think there was some change involved. Yes.
That might be the new low.
I do. This is my mental saving grace. The only two times I've lost this year is with a shorthanded lineup because I did get the Amari Cooper COVID news on Friday. And
that's a shame.
It is a shame. I know.
What a loser.
I know. But I'll tell you what, Taylor Dahl might be in first place by
Holy
the end
cow.
Of the night.
My
oh,
goodness.
My goodness.
She had, she's got like $120 and counting. With Jonathan Taylor in the lineup. All right.
Was that a record? That's not the record, right?
It probably will be by the end of the night.
Because you had the record. I don't know what the
record was, but it's something probably in the 120s. And she's Whew. Got Chris Godwin to go. So good job by her. Bad job by the Jaguars. Whew. Bad job. Bad job. I feel like I'm scolding a child or perhaps a puppy. I don't know at this point. At least those things are cute. Nothing cute about what happened yesterday at TIAA Bank Field. I mean, where do you want to begin with the lack of discipline, the penalties that continued the drive for San Francisco on the opening drive over and over and over? I mean, third down off the field and
holding,
you know,
defensive holding
offsides, and then of course Rayshon Jenkins throwing a punch. Captain Rayshon Jenkins throwing a punch when, again, the Jaguars had a stop on third down. And this is well after the play. And, yeah, you know, San Fran would have been in position to kick like a 46-yard field goal, something like that. And Robbie Gould is pretty good. So maybe they make that, but it's 13 to nothing then. And your ball, and you're driving down the field, and you think, all right, maybe we stick one in the end zone. We're going to get the ball to open up the second half. Of course, none of that happened. 13-plus minute drive. J.P. Shadrick looked it up yesterday, the longest drive you could find in NFL history, 13 minutes, 21 seconds. This was 13:05. So,
almost setting records.
It's absurd. Like, you can say, oh, the defense, well, at least they made them earn it. Sure, but they still left them out there for 20 plays. And I granted, you know, that's what you try to do. You try to make them have those 10, 12-play drives, figuring they'll make a mistake. No. They didn't make any mistakes.
You made the mistakes.
You made multiple mistakes.
Two sacks wiped out by the penalties there. Now, I guess, obviously, the offside one, the second offside one, he was clearly offside. There was nothing, you know, you could do about that. And, you know, that play was pretty much blown up from the start. So, you know, ended up with a sack. But just there's – and I tweeted just before they got the ball back. I'm like, hey, the worst time for a three and out is going to be – right after your defense has been on the field for 13-plus minutes, three and out, boom. That game essentially over after that second drive.
Three and out followed by a one and out.
Yeah.
On the very next play, yeah. Laviska Shenault fumbles it away. I mean, it was just absurd.
Trevor Lawrence had one incompletion, and the game was 17 to nothing.
Right. Yeah, he was 6 of 8 in the first half. He had no chance.
Yeah.
I mean, I honestly couldn't assess how he played in the first half because they had – now, look – it's on him to make some plays, too, and not go three and out. But, I mean, you know, again, he was 6 of 8 passing. It wasn't like he was 1 of 7, something like that. And, again, I'm not trying to absolve Trevor Lawrence. Everything needs to be better. But as Bucky Brooks described it on the scoreboard show yesterday after the game, not going to get better. Not offensively. What's going to get better?
This is it. This is it. 7 more weeks of this. And it's going to be worse. Because we don't even know how long Jamal Agnew's going to
exactly.
be out.
Exactly, right. He is a guy that all of a sudden become the key cog in the Jaguars' offense, moving the ball. The only guy apparently with any kind of speed. I mean, you had John Brown out there for one shot. Trevor threw it 3 yards out of bounds. He was tightly covered. There's no question about it. But no chance for John Brown to make a play on that ball. I don't even know where to begin with all this.
That was one of John Brown's 5 snaps. In the game yesterday was that third down attempt there on the first series of the game. Look, this is a football team that you're coming out of yesterday and you're asking, where is Dan Arnold in the offense? Right. But this is just the generalization of where we're at this point with the Jaguars offense. Where is Dan Arnold, who didn't get a target yesterday, and how are they going to overcome the injury to Jamal Agnew? That's where Jaguars football is in 2021. Dan Arnold, Jamal Agnew.
Two guys going into the season that you thought, well, one wasn't on the team. The other one might not
catch
a pass.
Was your kick returner.
Right, he might not catch a pass for the team.
Right.
Of course, you know, your punt returner as well. So Tavon Austin goes in and immediately muffs a punt and gives it up. I mean, Josh Allen forces a fumble on that opening drive, and Andrew Wingard is like stuck in molasses. He's right there, never moves towards the ball. Someone comes flying in, one of the 49ers recovers it, and then Winger's like, oh, almost had it. No, you didn't. I mean, you didn't even
Let me add to the positivity that's on the air right now. Oh, by the way, James Robinson, heel, knee, he's not the same guy.
No,
anybody
not at all.
Watching him, and that's an injury that, honestly, for it to heal that heel and not be an issue, for the heel to heal, how about that?
You probably have to take a few weeks off.
That is honestly, you got to shut it down. And they can't afford to. They can't afford to.
They're getting beat to death right now. I think they can't afford to.
If James Robinson's truly hurt to the point where he cannot be his normal self, and then he's not going to be able to avoid, you know, hits or put himself in the best position to absorb them, you know, then – you owe it to him, dude.
Right. Well, I guess. But if you're going to still try to score points, I mean, honestly, at this point, I'm beginning to wonder if, like, maybe the better play and the smart thing right now with the situation they're in right now is to take Trevor out of there and let C.J. Beathard get the crap beat out of him instead.
I don't think Trevor's getting the crap beat out of him.
No.
Honestly.
He will be.
Hasn't yet. If but, it gets to that point.
He's been sacked in every single game, and he's got battered around pretty good in a couple. And he's got his best weapon, his best receivers out. And now, and their best offensive player is limited. And if you take him out, they're not going to be able to run the ball. So I mean,
I don't see how he gets better watching C.J. Beathard play.
Well, I mean, you know what? I don't think he's going to get better either. But I'd much rather. I can't believe I'm saying this because I think he should normally think he should play the whole damn season.
I'm not ready to just punt on everything. I mean, then why tell anyone to show up? You know, honestly, why would anyone go to a game? You're all right. We're not going to put.
Well, they're not showing up now.
Well,
the diehards are.
They are right, and for them, I feel the worst for those folks who show up week after week after week to absorb this kind of beatdown. And I get it. They've won two games. They only won one last year, but my gosh, do they feel like they're any better of a football team? Not right now, to me, they don't, at least. So, anyway, we can discuss all the different particulars coming out of the game. There's nothing really good to hang your head on. I felt dirty voting for a Jaguars Radio Network player of the game yesterday. I gave it to James Robinson because he's gutting it out and he scored the touchdown. I mean, come on, points are at a premium right now. But if you want to get in today, you know the ways to do it. 641-1010 on the phone lines or the text line designed by Lifetime Enclosures. The question of the day simply asks, what is your reaction to the Jaguars' 30-10 loss to San Francisco yesterday? By the way, just the middle-of-the-pack NFC team. Middle of the pack. They're not anything special out there. They had a great performance against the Rams, but they're a 5-5 football team.
Yeah, but they know what they are.
Who, if the playoffs started today, would not be in them.
No.
Okay, yeah, sure they know what they are.
They know exactly what they are, and they're going to try to do it to everybody they play every week, and against Jacksonville, they could do it.
Right, exactly, because they knew who they were when they were losing four in a row earlier this year as well. So, I mean, it's just
it must be nice.
It's just frustrating.
From the standpoint of a 49ers player, of you know what you are, you know what your identity
is. This is what we're going to do.
Right, because they don't know what they are here.
No idea.
And I don't think anybody has any idea.
I don't think they've known that the whole year. Even when James Robinson was healthy, it was like we're all wondering, what the hell are you doing or what are you not doing? Underutilizing him. Anyway, like I said, we'll stretch it out over the next 2 hours. We'll invite your commentary. You can hit us up on Twitter at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at ESPN Duraco, and at IME to the T.
Come on, somebody.
Come on, somebody.
Breakfast is good.
At least the poor scamp over there in the corner who's crying is not agreeing with you. You didn't get any today, but that's okay. It'll be fine. All right. That's Jaguars today.
Scamp.
On a reaction Monday. A little scamp. A little scallywag.
Scamp will be all right.
The scamp will be just
Tiny
fine.
Tim needs a little bit more.
Oh, all right, we're off and rolling. It's Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
The give to James Robinson, leans toward the end zone. Touchdown. A 1 yard touchdown run by James Robinson, and the Jags are in the end zone for the first time today.
Now, more Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Hey, one of those 54 rushing yards right there.
Boom!
Boom! 171-54 on the ground. Really, you look at the total yardage for the Niners. If you want to spin a story about the defense.
It's only, what, 333?
All right, they only gave up 333, which is not a huge total in the NFL.
No.
But when you're getting 171 on the ground and you're just, they're not stopping you and you're extending drives with penalties, they scored 30.
Yeah.
They scored 30.
I saw Jimmy Garoppolo's passing chart yesterday, just air yards, like where he threw. I think he threw one ball over 10 yards past the line of scrimmage.
Why would you?
All day.
Dink and dunk.
And they beat them to death.
Give the ball to Debo.
It's almost.
Didn't even get the ball to Debo. Not in the passing game.
Hand it off to Debo.
Right. I mean, Debo had one catch in the game, I believe.
Yeah. Yes.
I mean. Yes. Brandon Ayuk is like, hey, thanks for the memories. I feel like it's 2020 all over again.
No doubt, yeah.
When he was having a breakout second half of the season. You know, we were talking about this on the break. I was thinking about it on the drive in. Last year was horrendous. They went 1-15, but at a certain point, started to dawn on you that, damn, you know what? We got hope because we're going to have the first pick, and it's a quarterback-rich draft, and we've never been in this position. We're ready to reset the franchise.
Get Trevor.
Yeah.
Even if you had the first pick this year, okay, maybe you get Kayvon Thibodeau and he's this great pass rusher. But, I mean, I'm so beyond that. Give me 5 or 6 wins, please. And maybe they'll still do that. I don't think they will. I don't think they will, D-Rock. But as you were just saying a minute ago to me, like you didn't think they were going to win another game. Then they go out and beat Buffalo. Yeah. I mean, things happen in the NFL that are unexplainable sometimes.
And we're getting to a point where I know we've had fans that have told us, and we're not talking free agency on the show every day yet, but fans that have told us, blank check, Devontae Adams, how much bigger would your blank check have to be than the next team for him to even consider?
Adams come here?
Right, like to even think about it.
He's going
to
get a blank check anywhere he goes.
It may be Jacksonville may be able to offer the most money, but I don't know that Jacksonville can offer enough more money than the next team that would be talking to him.
Come here, Devontae. We won't be able to sign anybody else, and our drafting has been spotty. So maybe by 2028 you'll have a chance, if you're still in the league and still ambulatory, to win a playoff game.
Yeah,
I mean, you can't sell anything on
that. Yeah, they got beat by a team yesterday that had 2 players that caught more than 2 passes and got beat by 20.
Yeah.
I mean, absurd. Just absurd. We saw it. You saw it. You can react to it right now at 641-1010. Let's get to it. Jimmy out of Jack's Beach going to lead us off today on a Reaction Monday. Good morning, Jimmy.
Hey, gentlemen. Hope you guys are doing okay today. I made a point of being the first caller today because I want to pose a question to y'all that – because I respect you guys immensely in this media that we have here in Jacksonville. Couple things I noticed. I'm a season ticket holder. I go to every game. So regression, I've never seen a team regress from one year to the next, with the exception of a handful of players individually. And the second thing is that can you guys, the three of you and ET, sell me on Urban Meyer being the head coach of the Jaguars? Just sell me. What has he done?
No, why should I have to do that? Not my job to sell you on it. Ask Shad Khan. I made it pretty clear, Jimmy. I'm not trying to cut you off. I can't. I came in this morning. I asked Tony, if this continues this way to the end of the year, tell me one reason why Urban Meyer deserves to stay on as the head coach of the Jaguars.
Because they're paying him a bunch.
Okay. Then my response to that was, name me one football reason.
Don't have one.
Neither do I.
He drafted Trevor Lawrence, but anyone would have.
Anyone would have.
Well, the only thing I'll say. And again, you can't really sit there and point to one football reason and say this, but this was a bad team last year. They were 1-15. Okay.
Sure.
So it's not like he inherited a team that was threatening .500.
Are they getting better?
They were. I thought they were, but
at times the defense had like a 2 or 3 good game stretch.
But I thought overall they were a better team than they showed in that opener.
You thought.
Yes.
But they showed in that opener. I mean, they are what they are. They are what they put on the field. They are the product that they present.
Then we got to the bye week.
Yeah.
And then it's, I mean, like the Bills game, that was an anomaly. And oh, by the way, the Bills got their tails kicked yesterday. So
right. The Bills are heading in the wrong direction.
Correct. The Patriots now lead that division, which at the beginning of the year was unthinkable. But they're a bad team. They have bad personnel. That's all there is to it. So it's not like this was going to be – the expectations were way too high on this team for this year with Urban and with Trevor. But I can't really point to a football reason and say to you, But apparently, this is – I mean, it's going to be worse. I mean, 7 weeks and the offense is just
right.
Awful.
They're not getting any help on offense. The offense is going to be, it's probably as good as it will be right now, which is scary. It's not like they won't score more than 10 points, I think, in some game at some point.
The offense itself, just the offense, is averaging 14.7 points per game. Just the offense. And that includes field goals and stuff like that.
Sure.
That's it. That is it. 2 touchdowns a game. And they're only averaging 15.9 points per game overall.
Well, it's not just
that. You can't win in the league with that.
You got one of your captains throwing a punch. Like, what are we doing? Leonard Fournette 2.0 here? I mean, seriously. You get thrown out throwing a punch after you've made a stop and you're going to force a field goal attempt. And first down because I can't control myself.
Right.
And J.P. Shadrick pointed out, I think he said, 4 or 5 penalties for Jenkins, 2 for taunting, 2 for unsportsmanlike.
Mm-hmm.
There's one of your captains.
Was it?
Great job.
2018, the game against Kansas City that Miles Jack got thrown out right after he had been selected as a captain?
Yeah, the opener.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So shades of that a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, control your emotions, man. Don't punch a guy on the field. I don't understand why we'd even have to have this discussion.
I don't understand it either. Apparently, you know, there's some photos showing that his hair was getting pulled. The way the guy had his hair, his hands on the jersey, some of his dreads got caught in it. And, yeah, I mean, I get that hurts, but
push him.
You play defense. Tackle him on the next play.
But bottom line is the league has been pretty clear about this. Dreads are part of your uniform. You can get tackled by your dreads. If you wear your hair real long, that's part of your uniform. You can get tackled. You can get yanked down by
a punch. That's the thing you
can't
do.
Correct.
There are a lot of responses you could have, including shoving a guy, two-hand shove in the chest, you know, which I don't think necessarily draws, you know, once they see you throw the punch, because that scuffle was going on, right?
Yes.
And generally they'll blow the whistle, maybe to be offsetting or nothing, and you break them up. But you throw the punch, it's automatic. You're done.
They're off the field. That whole 13-plus minute drive doesn't happen.
Yeah.
They're off the field. Now, that doesn't mean they're going to go down and score and win this damn game. No chance.
The punch was not on the 13-minute
drive. No. That was the holding, though, is what I'm saying. The penalties.
Oh, I got
you. The penalties are killing them. But they stopped him on third down on that play, too.
Oh, I know.
On the punch. Yeah. I mean,
that's what I'm saying. Yeah, it was already done. The play was over.
Yeah. There's no point in it. Yeah.
Well, we got the sack because we were offsides, and maybe they would have got the first down anyway. This was like, no, we stopped them. Now we're going to get into a fight and give them a first
Rayshon
down.
Yeah, Rayshon Jenkins, not the best game for him yesterday, obviously.
Jimmy, thank you. No, sorry, I cannot. And not my job to give you a reason. Look, I've said I'm going to judge Urban Meyer. Mm-hmm. Once he got hired on what he does for this football team, it ain't good right now. I mean, How's the punter not on the freaking field? I get it. The punter has responsibility in that as well. But, I mean, this is the atmosphere.
He must have thought they were going for it.
That's what I thought, that he thought they were going for it, which I thought they should have gone for it at that time. You're not doing anything. You got the ball around midfield.
Still doesn't make sense.
You're getting your next step on it. It doesn't. Right.
It still doesn't make sense when the other 10 guys are running out on punt kick.
And one of the protectors is pointing back hey, nothing here, nothing here.
Wingard's turning around going, where the hell is the punter?
It's not that hard to tell. Like, the other 10 guys are running out.
Well, don't – the punter and the kicker normally hang around the, the long snapper. You know, they're all kind of together in a group.
Sure.
So, if you're Logan Cook and Ross runs out on
– where'd he go?
Don't you sit there and go, wait for me.
Yeah.
Here I come.
Yeah, as others have pointed out, that's not the play that
right.
that broke him, but it's more emblematic of
– it's where they are.
Just the poop show. That they put on out there yesterday. Let's get Terry on the south side next on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Terry.
Hey, good morning.
What's up?
Yeah, I just want to say, you know, I like that guy's thing about the offense. You know, he's complaining about our offense. Well, I was talking to a friend of mine this morning. We were talking about, you know, Tom Brady never, ever, ever gets touched. They don't even touch him. He has a line of people that guard around him. And I was telling my buddy, I said, yeah, man, he just pays them each one of them $100,000 a year to make sure that I never get hit. And so, you know, I mean, he just needs a little more protection so that he's got another, I don't know, half second or a second. Long enough to sit in the pocket and go, okay, oh, there's the guy.
The problem is that there is no there's the guy because those guys aren't open. So he'd be standing back in the pocket for an extra half second to a second, and there's nothing there.
I do agree, and I've heard many people reference this, and we've all seen it. Like, every team in the league has a couple of plays a game where the quarterback just sits back there and – is in a clean pocket, is able to turn his head, and then a guy on a crossing pattern pops wide, he's wide open, and he just hits him, and it's like an easy completion after like 3.5 seconds in the pocket, right? I'm not saying every play, but there are a few of those plays.
Yeah.
Every team has these plays. We don't have any of those plays. Now, the other thing, I don't make getting into, first of all, Tom Brady's not paying them $100,000. They're paid millions of dollars to do their freaking job.
Yeah, he takes them to dinner.
Right? I mean,
buys them a watch.
Like $100,000, these guys are making millions of dollars. That's the incentive. And Tom Brady is at the stage of his career where before you even step, first of all, look at the weapons he's got. Are you kidding me? With Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, and when he's healthy, Antonio Brown, and when he's healthy, Rob Gronkowski, and their backups are probably as good, if not better, than some of the guys we're rolling out there. Truly. I mean, is O.J. Howard any better or worse than Dan Arnold? I don't know. You know? I mean, but either way, I'm not getting down in the weeds.
Right,
on
right,
this.
Right.
But he's got all these weapons. He's got a team that won a Super Bowl that brought back all 22 starters on offense and defense, okay? And he's seen everything in 20 years to where before the ball snapped, he probably knows it's one of two guys. Either this guy's going to open immediately or I'm going to him. Because I've seen it. I know what they're doing. And on a few occasions, you can fool him or you can get pressure up the middle quick on him. Yeah, makes life hard on him. He hasn't been perfect. The football team beat him a couple of weeks ago. I think he'll light up the Giants tonight in response to it. But
yeah, we'll see what that looks like tonight. The play yesterday where Ben Bartsch gave up the quick pressure in the sack.
Yeah.
And Trevor got up and he was kind of putting his hands together.
That was the first sign of frustration,
right.
I think.
I was glad to see the frustration finally come out in Trevor with everything that's going on. But was that with a wide receiver not anticipating a blitz and cutting off a route? Do we have any idea why he was showing that frustration on the play?
Somebody asked him about it after the game, and they said they asked a question specifically about what he was – I got to go back and look at it. But
sure.
It was sort – you know, was he show like the playbook, open the play? I think the question was, were you saying like open the playbook? Mm-hmm. And I don't think that, and he was like, no.
It looked like it was at somebody
on the field. It looked like he started to really show some frustration and then he just clapped. You know, I think he overcame it. That sack was on him like that.
Yeah.
I mean, like, even if the receiver read blitz and was able to get, didn't read blitz, but read pressure and was able to, there's just no way he could have got the ball off.
Sure.
I think it's just flat frustration. And he's been really, really good about not showing any of that and really, really good about just, you know, hey, we all got to be better.
Yeah, he's been a crazy good about that kind of stuff, particularly like immediately in the post game, you know, cools off for 15-20 minutes and comes in there and says everything in the right tone that you'd want to hear from a future franchise quarterback, right?
It's got to be killing him.
It's got to be. But he is, I give him credit for internalizing it to this point in time, but at a certain point, it's got to get better. I remember going, oh, it's bad now, but it's going to get good. You know, I'm paraphrasing here, and the wins are going to come. They don't just come. They don't just mysteriously come. You have to put the right people in place in the front office. You have to put the right people on your coaching staff. You have to then select the right personnel to surround him. You have the right offensive scheme. Do we have any confidence that any of this is going to happen? I don't. Put it that way. I won't even put it on anybody else. I don't have any confidence. Now, could it happen? Sure. I don't have any confidence it's going to happen with Urban Meyer. He's shown nothing to me that makes me think that he is up to this job in the National Football League, period. Seriously. I mean, everything's a learn-on-the-job experience. What are you paying for? You're paying this guy probably over $10 million a year is what the rumors were. We don't know exactly what he's getting. For what exactly? To learn on the job? I'm sorry.
It was always going to be a learn-on-the-job first year, though.
Any
guy that comes right from college is a learn-on-the-job first year.
That's your choice.
Correct.
You know,
but that's Shad's choice.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. That's the owner's choice. And, you know, if you're going to make this guy one of the highest paid coaches in the National Football League, that's as well as your choice.
Yeah.
You know? Anyway, 6-4-1-10-10. We will get more to your reactions coming up on the other side. We're just a little emotional about things this morning. So you can get on board at that number. Hang on the line if you're there. I promise you we'll get to your calls coming up next. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
It was, and glad to get another shot next week to play in front of our fans and prove them we're better than that. That was a disappointing on all levels, and we have to do better.
This is Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
All right, let's get into it. We promised you we would get back to your phone calls quickly here at 641-1010. You've been patiently waiting, so let's do just that. On the Reaction Monday here on Jaguars Today, Jags fall 30-10. Kyrie in Norfolk, Virginia, checks in next. Hello, Kyrie. Kyrie, you there? All right. Let's try Zach in St. Augustine. Zach, you're on Jaguars Today. Go ahead.
Hey, how's it going?
What's up?
Hey, okay, so I used to be a season ticket holder way back when, well, during like Mike Malarkey, that era, which really sucked. I was just wondering, based on what we saw, what we have seen from Urban Meyer and the Jags this year, do you guys think that Urban Meyer's done a better job, same as Mike Malarkey, or worse than him through like up until now?
Oh, wow.
I can't speak on Malarkey because I wasn't following the team then, so I don't know the answer to that. But you guys were here.
They're both terrible. What is your point? Is the point that Mike Malarkey only got 1 year?
Well, yeah, that, and it seemed like our leading sack guy on defense was Tyson Alualu, if I'm not mistaken, and he had like 2 sacks.
Oh, Josh Allen's way better than that.
And we couldn't get past the 50-yard line to save our lives, so there was that. But that year, the Chiefs were terrible, so we didn't have the number one pick.
Right. And if we did, it would have been Eric Fisher, and not, or maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe
we
it would have been Luke
Joeckel.
Right,
yeah.
They might have taken Luke Joeckel anyway, but wasn't the year to change the destiny of your franchise. I mean, Eric Fisher's turned out to be a much better player than Luke Joeckel, but that, I mean, come on. Eric Fisher would not have changed the fortunes of this franchise all that much, in my opinion. But no, Mike Malarkey was terrible, and he got fired after a 2-14 season, and you wonder if that's why after that, Shad Khan stuck with Gus Bradley as long as he did because he didn't want to get the reputation of being the guy with the hair trigger on firing the coaches. Don't know.
Well, I mean, if Herb is indeed the $10 million a year guy and you fire him after 1 year, then you're on the hook for whatever's left. And if it was a 5-year deal, which seems to be
totally understand.
$40 million, I just can't see Shad Khan, unless something happens,
right,
being willing to part with $40 million and admit that he made a mistake less than a year after he sat there in front of all of us and said, this time I got it right.
No, if I were to bet, I would bet that, again, barring something unforeseen, like an off-the-field incident kind of thing, which, I mean, you can't rule out.
Correct. Not,
you
correct.
Cannot rule yep. out. But just in terms of if this team spirals downhill and goes 2-15, I don't think he's going to fire him. I think Urban Meyer will fire a bunch of coaches on his staff, but I don't think Shad will get rid of Urban. I have no idea what Shad will do. I'm just guessing, you know, but we'll have that conversation if it comes to that. Let's hope it doesn't. By the way, nobody's rooting for that around here. You know, the strangest thing is they have a chance to go out there and win this week. I'm telling you, they do it against Atlanta. If Cordarrelle Patterson is not there, you want to talk about a team that doesn't have weapons. They have Kyle Pitts, and that's it. I mean, now, if Russell Gage and Olamide Zaccheaus are running wild in your secondary, you've got an issue.
I'm not sure those guys aren't better than what the Jags put on.
They may be. I don't know. Russell
They're
Gage.
Faster. I know that.
Look, Mike Davis is a husk of a guy who wasn't ever very good to begin with. He is not good at all. And so if they don't have Cordarrelle Patterson, and if they do, he's going to be coming off a high ankle sprain. That's for next Sunday. I mean, I don't want to look ahead. I'm not trying to whitewash this. Obviously, you know, we're kind of wallowing in it today. But
first to 10 wins on Sunday.
All right, let's get back to the phones
might
here.
Be first to 3.
Jim on the south side next up on Jaguars Today. Jim, good morning. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. I'd first like to start with the owner. Obviously, he might be a brilliant businessman, but he's lost in his football game. Our coach looks like a ninth grade speech student who's standing in front of class, shifting left to right, bumbling along through the interviews, offering up excuses. He doesn't have a clue. And now why you see it's so hard to transfer from college to pro, it just doesn't go. And then let's talk about our captain. Our captain, if you're going to old school ball, if you're going to get the penalty or you're going to get the foul in your paint, you make it count. He slapped that guy with the open palm like the person that he is. You know, there's an expression for that. And, you know, open palm, you're going to punch the guy, lay him out. You're going to get kicked out the game, lay him out. Make it count. I've been sitting in those stands for 25 years. The hardest thing to do is go sit in that stands. You got to listen to those other fans the whole time. I've been in more Donnybrooks in that stand, caught 13 stitches in my eye because of all this nonsense. Those people come here, they're rude, they're disrespectful. The whole thing is a monkey show. It's ridiculous. And in the beginning of the season, everybody was drinking that Urban Kool-Aid. Oh, we got Trevor, we got Urban. Two rookies. We're basing all our bets on two rookies. It's not going to happen. And that's all I got to say. Totally disgusted. Can't give the tickets away. What a show. How what an embarrassment. And then do you think that the rest of the people, when Urban got caught in the bar, putting his hands and getting videoed and all that with the girl, that just, in the eyes of some of his players, I'm sure he lost them. I know as a fan, he lost me. I don't see those other coaches that are winning stuff getting caught in those situations. I appreciate y'all listening. I'm as disgusted as any person in this city, and I think the Jaguars are a joke, and you better just cinch your helmet up and bite down on your mouthpiece, because we got more nonsense to come. Thank you for the time.
All right, Jim.
That's a hell of a rant right
there.
It was. Pretty good.
And he pushed it up to the edge, but he kept it on the right side of it, I thought. I'll say this, though. I don't think the solution to Rayshon Jenkins is to close your fist and make sure you lay somebody out. Just don't throw the freaking punch. Open hand, closed hand, just don't do it. You're
play
hurting
with
your
some
team.
Kind of discipline.
Yes. Other than that, you know.
Smarter him
no
to keep
lies
his hand
told.
Open.
You're right. Don't break your knuckles. Yeah. Right. I mean, look, so whatever. Smart. I mean, it's the point, you know, shouldn't be. Let's see how, if we're going to cheat or we're going to commit a foul, let's really commit a foul. Let's not commit the foul, which is totally within your control and hurts your football team. Where's McManus today after we need to take one good 15-yard penalty to what? Like, really, Tom? I hope you're happy with that, Tom.
It was an old-time
boy. That was him last week, and I told him
that's right.
He's nuts, but that's okay, you know. If he look, not like Tom doesn't have – I would tell him if he were here, and he's not, but next time I see him, I'll ask him about that when he won't be in on Friday because we won't be here. But Ian in St. Augustine, next up here on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Ian.
How's it going, guys?
Oh, I don't know. Great.
It goes.
How are you doing?
I got a big rant. Urban Meyer, I think last week he said he didn't know the receivers have 18 drops on the year. How do you not know that as a head coach? Your job is to micromanage this team. And then we have Trent Baalke signing a bunch of career special teamers and journeymen. Look what New England did. They threw the bank open, and their quarterback is properly developing. They're winning games. But I don't understand it. It's so embarrassing to this city. I'm 21. I've sat through so many bad games in my life for these guys. And they just can't seem to do it. I don't understand it. We got to start asking, can Shaw do it? Should he sell the team? Because he clearly doesn't know how to hire people. At least, like, last year we felt a little more competitive, but Urban just looks like a joke. And I just, it's embarrassing. It's so embarrassing to be a fan of this team. I'm sick and tired of it. And unfortunately, I still love them. But it's so hard to cheer for them.
Well, that's the thing, Ian. Thank you. And if you didn't care, you wouldn't care.
It's awful.
No, seriously, though. I mean, they're the fans.
Yeah, man. And that's a fan that doesn't even have that 90s run to fall back on.
No.
Like, they don't have any of that to even go back to and say, at least I had that. Like, that's just
going
it's all misery.
He was eight, he's had one good year.
Yeah.
One good year.
Yeah, and
you know,
sticking with him.
In that period of time. But, look, there are plenty of other fans that have been here longer than that. And I'm not – look, you can only be as old as you are, so
yeah.
I'm not, you know, criticizing
not this
Ian
kid's fault.
For
yeah.
being 21 years old. Fans care. They care. They want to do well. They take civic pride in your accomplishments. They want to support you. They wear your colors. They identify with you. And you represent them when you go out there, man. And it's one thing just to be bad. It's another thing to be bad and sloppy and disorganized
yeah.
and have no discipline and take stupid penalties and have a coach who does too often seem like he's learning at his press conferences about something about his football team that everybody else seems to know.
Yeah, I mean, New England's down years, they went 7-9 and were eliminated from the playoffs with 2 weeks to go in the year. That's their down year.
Well, that's the difference between a good organization and not a good organization.
I think the New England organization, it's like comparing quarterbacks' development to Tom Brady. I mean,
okay,
you know,
well,
granted, I'm not saying
the Steelers haven't been great on
Steelers
the field recently,
are a better example.
But that's a
I
good
mean,
organization.
New England is,
yeah,
you know, they're just look, a cut above everybody
they're
else.
They're just like the Lions right now. They're just like the Lions. Why have the Lions been bad even when they've had really good? They had two Hall of Famers on the roster at the same time. And still were bad.
Look,
made the playoffs a few times.
People have
they
said,
did,
but people have but, said for years that, you know, Tony and I have heard this, you know, oh, we deserve it. Jags deserve, Jag fans deserve. No, look at the Lions is the team you point to. You only deserve what you earn. If you make the right decisions and the right hires and those people make the right decisions, then yeah, you're going to get good results and you're going to get results based on the work you put in. Sometimes you get burned, sometimes you get a little lucky, whatever. But it's not like you can cruise along at a 4-win average clip and then all of a sudden go, oh, it's our turn. No, this doesn't happen. It's not magic.
Tampa doesn't deserve Tom Brady. They have him.
They got Tom Brady. Yeah. Right. Exactly. And, you know, and then when you have him and he's had that level of success, it's not like people were clamoring to play with Tom Brady in the early days in New England, right? He was a game manager quarterback, really, when they won the first Super Bowl. That's what he was. That's not a knock. I'm not ripping Tom Brady. That was reality, right? He's kind of like Mac Jones is now. He can make you a couple of plays a game, key plays, but he's not going to beat you. And that's great when you've got a good defense, special teams, which they did. And they do now.
And they still continue
right,
to
exactly.
Have, yeah.
And it's a good formula if you can have all those pieces. I'm not saying it would be easy for the Jags in one off season to put all those pieces in place around Trevor Lawrence, but I mean, whatever pieces you've got, and I get that injuries impact you as you go along. I mean, what a day for injuries on top of that.
Holy cow,
we still don't
know
about Agnew. Thank God Cam Robinson came back in the game, honestly. Because I don't, as excited as you can be about Walker Little, I don't want to lose Cam Robinson when we're talking about protecting Trevor Lawrence for the rest of this football season. You know, and that's the same exact play that happened on. Just, it's unbelievable. Unbelievable. Chris in Orange Park, next up here on Jaguars Today. What's going on, Chris?
Hey, how y'all doing today?
All right.
So I'm trying to look at this through a rational eye, and it's really hard. And I think back to some of the things that you all said months ago when we looked at the situation that Urban inherited, and we look at it, and he came in. We had the number one draft pick. We had the most cap space in the league. And one of the things that you all said the day that free agency started, we were excited. We said we're going to make a splash in free agency. And a couple callers said it ago, all we signed was a bunch of dudes. We signed a bunch of role players. And when you have a franchise quarterback, look at what, like you said, what New England did. We've got a young quarterback. We've got to do everything in our power to surround him with guys that are going to help the learning curve. And what we did is we signed a bunch of guys. Urban was literally saying how excited he was that he signed Manhurst to solve the tight end issue. And if that isn't an indictment of our assessment of player personnel, that it was loaded with tight ends and free, and they may have tried, and because of the culture with the team, we really don't know that, but that may be why they didn't come. But he literally tried to convince us that Manhurst was somebody that he targeted in free agency, where nobody else, and gave him like a good-sized contract for somebody that was a blocking tight end where we needed a receiving threat. And I just feel like what we're seeing now is a team full of dudes around Trevor, and I feel like this was a year that was lost for him because we did not set him up for success. And that's just my opinion. I take your comments.
Chris, it's a fair
spot
opinion,
yeah.
Right? I mean, look, I'll say this. You look at Dan Arnold, okay, just in his Jacksonville uniform, obviously mysteriously not in the stadium yesterday or something. It appeared, with the Jags, 2, 8, 10, 18, 22, 27. Dan Arnold's caught more passes with the Jags since he's been here than Jonnu Smith has caught all year. Like, honestly, Jonnu Smith has not turned out to be a great signing for the New England Patriots. Hunter Henry has been very good, right? But if we had signed Jonnu Smith, we would have been like, oh, my God, we finally have the weapon at tight end. And chances are, if he's disappointing there, he would have been disappointing here, and we would have been like, what the hell? But you would have got the top guy. So, occasionally, you're okay by not paying up to the top of the market. Dan Arnold's been very good. My question is, how the hell can you not throw him the ball once? Not one time yesterday. How does that happen when he's caught 11 of his 15 targets the last 2 weeks? I asked in the postgame, I asked Fred Taylor, I asked Bucky Brooks, did you see something that they were doing where they were doubling him, they were taking him away, they were chipping on him, coming off the line? What? No, nothing particular. I mean, you know, now I'm not saying they were locked in. Maybe there was something that they were doing, recognizing that he was a threat. But we've all, D-Rock was showing us some cut-ups of some of the plays afterwards. Nobody's
open.
They're all single covered and not open.
Correct. Nobody's getting doubled, and they got guys on their hips. It's unbelievable.
Well, their two most impactful free agent signings are both guys that are playing outside of the positions they were brought here to play.
Rudy Ford and Jamal.
Yeah. I mean, that's where we're at.
Been pretty solid.
He's been fine. Yeah, but that's a trade.
Oh, true.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah. You know, like it's just they didn't get any impact even from an offseason where they had the most money and we're going to roll it over and do these different things. Well, you're handicapping your quarterback, you know, and instead of it being okay by year three, four, I'm not confident by year three or four they're going to be in a position to really compete in the AFC.
No, because they've got too many positions that they have to address to even get there.
Hey, E.T., you know, so who did get a sack, though, yesterday, right?
Who did?
Roy Roberts. Come on, man. How do you not see that? All right, we'll get back to your calls coming up in a moment. Reaction Monday rolls on. Jaguars today as the Jags fall 30-10. This is 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Now, gems around the NFL. Brought to you by Beaches Jewelry and Pawn in Jacks Beach.
Oh, the holidays begin on Thursday this week with Thanksgiving upcoming, but some NFL teams feeling in the giving mood, apparently, today as a couple of extensions have gotten done. The Denver Broncos and wide receiver Cortland Sutton have come to terms on a four-year, $60.8 million extension with $34.9 million guaranteed. The Broncos also extended Tim Patrick over the weekend, and the Philadelphia Eagles have signed linebacker T.J. Edwards to a one-year extension worth up to $3.2 million with $2.15 million guaranteed. Chicago Bears rookie quarterback Justin Fields was forced out of the Bears' loss to Baltimore with a ribs injury during the third quarter of the game yesterday. Fields was 4 of 11 for 79 yards and 23 yards rushing when he was hurt. It's unclear whether it will affect his status going forward there, but they are saying bruised ribs for Justin Fields. Green Bay Packers Pro Bowl offensive lineman Elgton Jenkins is feared to have suffered a torn ACL. He is undergoing further tests today to confirm that diagnosis. New York Jets running back Michael Carter was forced out of their game yesterday with an ankle injury. Tennessee wide receiver A.J. Brown left the game, then came back, but was forced out of the game late with a chest injury. So that's one to monitor through the week. And week 11 in the NFL wraps up tonight with Monday Night Football. The 3-6 New York Giants are at the 6-3 Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Giants running back Saquon Barkley is questionable for tonight's game. The Buccaneers have already ruled out wide receiver Antonio Brown for tonight. Tight end Rob Gronkowski has been listed as questionable for the game. Gronk got in two full practices this week before missing practice on Saturday, but it does sound like he's likely to give it a go tonight.
All right, so Cortland Sutton, who's had two 100-yard games this year, who's had 78 yards in his last three games combined on a big five catches, five for 78 in three games, just got $60 million. And you think
but no drops.
We got all this money. We're just going to get like 15 great receivers in here and da-da-da. Whew. Man, they are desperate to make sure that Aaron Rodgers has somebody to throw the football to next year because Tim Patrick just got paid a couple of days ago. Yeah. He's their third receiver. He got over $10 million a year.
Wait. You can build guys for your quarterback to throw to? You can sign guys?
You can.
You can put playmakers in place to help your quarterback.
My point being, a guy who has 78 yards over the last 3 weeks just got $15 million a year.
And is better than what?
I'm not saying he's not better. Cortland Sutton's better than what they have, right? But he's not like a speed burner receiver either. He's like in the Allen Robinson mold, but I don't think he's as good as Allen Robinson, right? So my point being, people think, oh, we got this cap space, we're going to be able to get this.
The
cost of labor is going through the roof. Tim Patrick, who's the third receiver on Denver, just got a contract that was, what was it, like $36 million for 3 years or something like that?
Something like that.
It was not insignificant money. That's your third receiver out there. So you want to rebuild your wide receiver core. I hope you're saving your pennies, right? And that's just one aspect of this team that they need to fix.
Saving your pennies, and with a guy like Cortland Sutton signing the extension, was set to be a free agent. That's done now. Why even look at it, guys? I don't know why you torture yourself with these guys could be free agents. Stop. With the franchise tag and contract extensions and all this other stuff, you're just torturing yourself for the next several months.
All right, let's go to Johnny, who says he's calling in from the Pentagon this morning. Good morning, Johnny.
Good morning, Mike. How are you? How are you?
We're good. What's going on?
So I'm a longtime Jags fan. Jacksonville native. Been in the military 24 years. So I know a little bit about leadership.
Let me ask you, you don't have to give away the secrets, but do you work at the Pentagon?
Yes.
Okay. I'm just curious. Yeah. I don't know if we've ever had a call for the Pentagon before. So please continue.
Listen to your show every morning.
Appreciate
that. So I've been in the military about 24 years, so I know a little bit about leadership. So in regards to the lack of discipline shown yesterday, especially by a team captain, I think, unfortunately, Urban has placed himself in a position to not be able to address the team's conduct, on-the-field conduct, without looking like a hypocrite because of the lack of discipline he's exhibited, which makes him less effective as a leader. He can't get in front of a group of men and tell them about their on-the-field or off-the-field conduct without, looking like a hypocrite. So I think that's rendered him ineffective as a leader and makes you wonder how long he could be in that position continue to lead that team without being respected as a leader.
Hey, Johnny, I appreciate the call, man, and thanks for your service to our country. Thank you very much, and in all sincerity there. That's an interesting angle, actually, that we don't know what the dynamic is, right? And we saw when the Jags win and you see the guy celebrating with Urban and everyone's quick to post pictures and say, oh, look, sarcastically mocking the people who said he lost the locker room. But in this specific instance, that is interesting. You wonder, as things get worse record-wise and you get deeper into the season and there's less belief that it's going to get turned around and you got a guy who wants to get on your case for your behavior, I think that is I'd never really considered that specific angle of it until he just brought that up right now, D-Rock.
Yeah, that's a good point. But the question I wonder, too, is if this was a disciplined team, would they still be 2-8?
Don't know, but at least you wouldn't feel as bad about, like, you would feel like they're not beating themselves, right? Like, and I hate that, like, San Fran was clearly the better team. I'm not, for any 49er fan who's lingering, and there might be a few tens of thousands of you based on the amount of red in the stadium yesterday, but I'm not saying San Fran was going to win that football game. They had a plan. They executed their plan. Jags did not meet their physical challenge. Didn't get them off the field for 13 minutes. But, who knows? Maybe if they don't have those penalties and they do force them to punt on that first drive. I'm not saying that the offense would have been better, but maybe it would have been like a 17-10 game or 17-6 game or something like that, because they, and you would have felt like, man, we just don't have the pop offensively to hang with teams, but we're not beating ourselves. Like, people didn't come out, I didn't feel, of that Indy game disheartened. I feel like they felt like, hey, the defense allowed 16. They did a great job on Jonathan Taylor. Look at Jonathan Taylor yesterday, mm-hmm. right? They did a great job on him for three quarters, right? Did a terrible job on him in the first quarter. Right, whether it was one or two guys missing an assignment, doesn't matter. End result is he ran for 93 yards in the first quarter. But, okay, so you had to block punt. That was a blown assignment by one of the offensive linemen in the game. Just blown assignment. And so, that's a single play. It resulted in 7, but it's not really reflective of the defense. We just can't score, but at least the defense is improving. This one you come out of and you're like, what do you point to that gives you any hope that things are moving in the right direction? And the arrow doesn't always point up. We said this early in the year. First four games, it seemed like every week they got a little bit better, a little bit better. And you can live with that. You're not happy to be 0-4, but at least you can go, damn it, we're moving in the right direction.
Yeah, they were missing kicks. There were opportunities in games that they were still letting pass them by. It's like, okay, we clean these kind of things up. Maybe they start giving themselves a chance week to week. The game in Cincinnati felt like a game they could have won. Like, it felt like it was going on that trajectory. And then there's games like yesterday, which you come out of going, I guess I still believe Josh Allen is a really good player, like that. But that's what you're left with, is there's a couple guys on the team that I feel like are good players, but yesterday was miserable.
Right.
Just all over the place.
And that doesn't mean, like, Josh Allen may grade out fine for the game. I just couldn't get behind praising
anybody's
defensive
performance. There's no player in the game yesterday.
Right.
Nobody.
When you give up 30 and you give up a 13-minute drive, but again, even if you have one great player and you got I'm not saying this is the case, but if you had Ray Lewis in his prime and a bunch of guys who weren't very good around him, well, Ray Lewis probably wouldn't look like Ray Lewis in his prime.
He'd make a crap load of tackles yesterday, but they ain't winning that game.
Right, make a crap load of tackles 17 yards down the field. Let's go to Kenny in Orange Park. Thank you, Johnny, for the call. Kenny, you're on Jaguars today. Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
What's up, buddy?
I called in a few weeks ago, and Mike, you said, well, who do we fire? Who do we fire? I'm to the point. I feel like if the season ends the way it's going right now, you got to blow it up again, man. Like, we had 12 draft picks this year, and that's got talked about, too, that we have one guy out of these 12 picks that we had that is actually contributing on this team. And the guy, he's losing his confidence. I tuned into the Chiefs and Cowboys game that came on right after our game, and I just couldn't help but notice when Eric Bieniemy was over there celebrating with his players. And then it shot me right back to that clip they showed on the TV. I'm not sure if you guys watched on the TV, but towards the end of the game, when we finally punched in the touchdown, Trevor's over there with his arm around Herb, you know, and he just looks dejected. He looks like he's lost, confused. I don't know what you want to call it, but I mean, I say if the season stays the way it has been going as of right now, you got to blow it up. Fire Trent Baalke, fire Urban Meyer. I would love to see a guy like Eric Bieniemy come in here. And hopefully you can attract some free agents with a signing like that, because what we got going right now, that's not attracting anybody. I don't care how much money you got. We might still have to overpay, but I mean, hey, hopefully we'll get some guys in here that can make a difference. And that's all. You guys have a good one.
Let me ask you a question, though, before you go. What confidence do you have that if they blow it up, that they'll find the right people to replace them? Because they haven't yet. And they've – Malarkey, no. Dave Caldwell didn't stay, didn't work. Gus Bradley didn't work. Tom Coughlin didn't work. Doug Marrone didn't work except for 1 year. And now you're with Baalke and Urban Meyer. So that's, what, seven guys. So if you blow it up, do you have any confidence that they'll make the right hires? Because they haven't.
I mean, I'll drink the Kool-Aid one more time. I mean, I don't know what to say.
I hear what you're saying. You get to the point where you just don't want the same thing over and over. Look,
sure.
I'm not going to get into what they need to blow up in the offseason until the offseason gets here. When it gets here, trust me, we'll have those conversations. But To be fair,
and I wasn't picking on him.
I know your point. Yeah. I don't think he took it that way.
Okay,
but there are seven games to go, and you know what? If they win three of their last seven? I'm not saying they will, and I don't expect them to. Okay, but what if they do? Even if it's Atlanta, the Jets, and Houston. Which, by the way, which Houston do you think we're going to beat exactly here? The one that punked the Tennessee Titans yesterday, or one that punked you in week one? I'm not sure which team.
They're a different team with Tyrod Taylor playing quarterback.
Totally.
Yeah.
Right. And so they lost eight in a row, primarily without Tyrod in there.
Doesn't mean I think they're great, but they're different.
They're certainly.
They're competent.
If you're just looking at the record and say, well, we can beat Houston. Well, you could beat the Bills, and you did. Great. I would not make that a financial plan to bet on those things. You know, honestly, I wouldn't bet that they beat the Falcons this week. What's the opening line on that game?
Jags minus one.
Wow. Well, that's reflective of the fact that Atlanta didn't manage a single point in their game this week. So there is that. There is that hope for a nothing tie, right? 3-0, right? Can we get in position to get that field goal? Let's find out what
defense
Matthew Wright's range is.
Defense is going to have to score this week.
Maybe they do.
What's
I don't
the
know.
Hell out
but
of Matt
that,
Ryan?
That would probably require a turnover of some kind,
right?
Of which have been in short supply this year. All right, we're all frustrated. 641-1010. If you want to weigh in on a reaction Monday, that's how you do it on Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
At least, like, last year we felt a little more competitive, but Urban just looks like a joke. And it's embarrassing. It's so embarrassing to be a fan of this team. I'm sick and tired of it. And unfortunately, I still love them, but it's so hard to cheer for them.
Everything you need to know about the Jaguars today on 1010XL.
Look, certainly nobody's trying to talk you out of your love for the Jacksonville Jaguars, man. We all care. That's why we want them to do well. That's why it's so damn frustrating. If you didn't care, you wouldn't care, if you know what I'm saying, right? 641-1010. You want to get in on that brilliant statement. You don't care if you don't care. Let's go to Belvis on the west side, see what's on his mind.
I don't know.
Belvis, good morning. You're on Jaguars Today.
Come on, somebody.
Come on now.
What's going on, Belvis?
Hey, it's not a victory Monday, but, you know, I just want to say the whole season we were talking about, you know, this season isn't the most important. It's the fact that Trevor is building and getting better. And it felt like he was for a while. In the last few games, he certainly hasn't. Man, I want to just go back to third down on our first drive. You know, it's third and five, third and four. And, you know, rather than just throw a nice little short, you know, what everybody was thinking of, we cannot go four and out after a 20-play drive. We can't go four and out. And rather than just make sure he gets the damn first down, excuse my language, but that we're going to, you know, we throw down the field, which I get it. We need to go down the field. It might have been a good opportunity, but I think at that point, we got to get the first down.
Nobody was open on that play. We looked at it.
D-Rock has got the cut up, and we all looked at
nobody
it
was open.
That if that was the first read on that play, I would agree that what are we doing here? We're throwing a deep ball to a guy who's just been active for the first time. That's, A, 3 yards out of bounds. I think the –
bad
I'm
throw.
Hoping. I'm hoping. Yeah. Well, either bad throw or I mean, you got to give him a chance to catch the football. But it was such tight coverage across the board. Yeah. Like the best you might have had immediately was the in cutting route on the right side, but it was short of the sticks. And by the time anyone broke open in the pattern, he had to get rid of the football because the pressure was on him. So
yeah, there were some guys running. There was one guy that was open, possibly by maybe a half yard, but he was 2 yards short of the first down, and the guy was right behind him. Somebody else was at the sticks, and there was a guy right on his hip.
I mean, everyone was like, right on their hip.
Yeah, there was no separation at all. So I understand the frustration, but
because I thought the same thing when it happened. I'm like, what? Are you kidding me? This we're gonna try a low percentage deep ball to John Brown, who's got a guy plastered all over him.
It's hard to see sometimes, obviously, on the TV
view.
But if you're at the stadium, next time you're there Sunday, watch. Mm-hmm. Just don't watch Trevor. Don't watch the offensive line. Watch the receivers and find the guys that are open, because it's not easy.
Yeah, and being in the stadium and seeing it from overhead, it is a different perspective. And watching in those moments, right? This is a third and four. It's a manageable third down from an NFL perspective. When, you know, you put a man in motion, so you know you got man coverage, like those kind of things, and you're watching the way the play develops, it's like, what is this designed to do? You're just watching the play going, okay, everyone run to the sticks and John Brown's going to run deep. Like, that's the way that it felt watching. It's like there's no idea behind the play outside of we're all going to run routes. You know, there's no pick, there's no rub, it doesn't feel like a man beater, it doesn't feel like any of that.
There's no guy cutting in with another guy running, you know, like
let's make it as difficult as we can on everybody on the field, including our rookie quarterback on his first third down of the game. It just doesn't make sense from a overall perspective, their philosophy with these kind of things, that they just continue to make it so difficult for everyone on that side of the football.
You know, but in the end, too, and I get it, personnel plays a large role in this, but Urban Meyer's in charge of everything. And, like, you can blame Balky if you want. Urban Meyer's in charge of Balky. Come on. We all know who pulls all the strings for this organization now. And, until and unless Shad Khan decides he doesn't. And that's Urban Meyer. So it all goes back to him. And you can say it goes back to the owner for hiring a guy who needed this much of an indoctrination into how the NFL works. But it is what it is. And, you know, so we can make it – well – these players need to get open. What if they're not capable of getting open? You know, these are the players you chose.
You have to help them.
Exactly. We talked about that Freiermuth touchdown last night, late in the game. I was like, I'm telling you, any one of us, if we caught the pass, would have scored on that because it was so well designed. It was just like a quick turn, catch, had a man block for him. Go watch last night if you didn't stay up to the end when Pittsburgh was coming back. It was such, I was like, wow, that was schemed for that touchdown. That it wasn't any spectacular anything. He caught it, he turned, he ran 3 yards, touchdown. That was it. And where is that? We don't have that. We don't have the creative scheming. And to the point where when it occasionally happens, like that little shovel pass for the two-pointer. It's so noteworthy. Oh, oh, there it is. Oh, you know.
That's just NFL offense.
There was a play. It,
but not here.
Yeah.
There was a play. It was a 16-yard catch to Shenault where Shenault was in the slot and there was somebody out wide. And the guy out wide drives down the field. Shenault cuts in or cuts out, excuse me. His guy gets picked by the guy and the other DB going down the field. It's an easy throw and catch. Now, yeah. The throw is a little off, but okay, great. I mean, Shenault catches it, and then he turns upfield, and he gets 16 yards, and you got the first down. That's the kind of stuff we're talking
about. Got to have more of them. Yeah. Right. Right. I mean, I know you're not going to design it that intricately on every single play. Sometimes these guys do need to beat the guy across from them, but – it's
34, design something.
You could tell me to beat the guy across from me if you threw me out in an NFL game, and you can tell me that as many times as you like. I'm not capable of doing it. So,
like,
you know.
I don't want to put the implication that coaching is simple because it's not, okay? It's not, but it ain't rocket science either. I mean, it ain't national security, which is what coaches seem to think. But the bottom line is if you want to scheme someone open, if you want to get somebody the ball on five consecutive plays, you can scheme things up to get that person the ball on five consecutive plays. It's not, I mean, they can do that. It's not hard for them to if they decide to do that, they can come up with whatever they need to do it. So it just seems like it should be a little bit more helpful. They need to be a little more helpful and know what their limitations are.
All right, I think we're Chuck on the north side next. Let's go there. Chuck, you're on Jaguars Today. Good morning.
Hey, guys, love the show. Couple things. The perimeter defense, in my opinion, was bad. We had a bunch of guys out there pit fighting, for lack of a better term, on the block. There just wasn't any violence, in my opinion, taken on the block from either the linebackers or the cornerbacks. I mean, the same play was coming. The one touchdown, the run fit by Shaquille Griffin was terrible. He went outside. The block was outside. He took out his own guy. Got a concussion in the process. And then lastly, I could not believe they called a quarterback or the zone read down 30-3, and Lawrence is carrying the ball down 30-3 with the option of getting hurt. And you know, it just didn't make any sense. That play call made zero sense to me to put him in a position where he can get hurt in a game that's already obviously well out of hand.
Right, I agree with you there. In the case of, look, I'm not one who says at this stage take him out to protect him, right? But there's a difference between playing and doing a high-risk thing like that. Like, I'm not opposed to some zone read. That's football. There's risk involved. But when you're down 30-3, you understand, like, you know, we don't have it today. Sure, we want to fight to the end. Let's fight, though, with a play where maybe it's a three-step drop and we get rid of the football, right? I mean, so not going to disagree with that in terms of that critique of the play call. Not a whole lot to disagree with from angry Jaguar fans today.
No.
I mean, they're justified in what they saw yesterday reacting that way. All right, if you're on the line, stay there. We got one segment to go. I want to get to some of these social media replies as well, and we'll continue along on a Reaction Monday next on Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Now, the question of the day, driven by Maserati Jacksonville. Come experience uncompromising luxury at Maserati Jacksonville.
All right, the question today, as it typically is on Mondays, what is your reaction to the Jaguars' outcome, in this case a 30-10 loss to the San Francisco 49ers? Tony, if you would, before we get to these phone calls that have been hanging on, give us a sampling of what we got on Twitter this morning.
Sure, from Stoff, why is it the hardest thing for this coaching staff to count to 11? Defense loves 12, special teams loves 10. What's so hard about 11? From Mason, they gave us nothing to cheer for the entire game. It's so frustrating seeing away fans make so much noise and dominate this team. We don't even look competitive out there. Jags fans have given every ounce of loyalty to see this. Do better. From Scott, unfortunately, I've become used to the losing, but to do it in such a fashion was really disappointing, quite frankly embarrassing. Might try to beat the Christmas rush and start hoping to lose out once again for draft position. Oh, we're there. From Brian, I'm numb to it at this point. It's expected. Faith in Khan and Meyer is zero. due to the abject lack of consistent improvement at the basics. That and Trevor's progress looks stunted due to no talent being around him. Is he even getting good coaching at this point? From Cobalt Blue, this game just highlights the effect of the laissez-faire ownership. Shad gives Urban a blank check, washes his hands, and won't make any changes for 3+ years. This won't get better. We're wasting Trevor.
Hey, I liked this one from Hipster Jag. I miss Moral Victory Monday. It's so much better than We Got Our Ass Whipped Monday.
There we go. They're getting better.
This is true. Well, they're not.
Come on down.
Yeah.
Not as bad.
Getting better is a better place to be than what happened yesterday.
Yes.
Let's go to Jim on the South Side next on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Jim.
Hello, gentlemen. Shad Khan, when he obtained the franchise, said his model was Robert Kraft. In 2000, Robert Kraft made a hiring decision. He gave up a number one first-round draft pick to obtain Bill Belichick. Result, 6 Super Bowl wins. Kraft has a 69% winning percentage. Khan has a 27% winning percentage. My conclusion, Khan has not followed the Kraft model. That's all I have to say.
Okay, tell me who has. Tell me who else has 7 Super Bowls. I mean, honestly, the Kraft model. Kraft got lucky that he hires Belichick, who got fired in Cleveland a few years before, and he falls into Tom Brady in the 6th round. I mean, I'm sorry. Bill Belichick has turned out to be a fantastic coach, right? Maybe the greatest of all time. But if anybody else tries to follow the Kraft model, unless you hire the best coach of all time, you're going to come up short. So that to me is like, you know, who doesn't want to follow the Patriots model?
Oh,
get a
sure.
great coach, get a great quarterback, and prosper for years. Every team is trying to do that.
I'll go back to last offseason when this whole thing started, and we knew they were firing their head coach. They had already fired their general manager. They had a chance to hit the reset button. It was going to be Trevor Lawrence coming in to get a chance to start this thing anew. They had all that money to spend. Go get it done. And we talked about it going into the offseason last year. You only get one shot at this, right? Like, you get to draft Trevor Lawrence once. You get to restart this thing once. Get it right. And we're 10 games into a season where it doesn't appear they're having gotten close to getting it right with what they're doing to try to build this thing around Trevor Lawrence and what the future of this franchise is going to be. So, fans, be as frustrated, be as angry, be as mad as you want to be. I think all of it is well-deserved based on the product that they're giving you on the field at this point. And it does feel like right now, 10 games into it, they're wasting Trevor. Just wasting it. It's
going to
be 2 or 3 more years of this before it feels like they're going to be any good at this point.
But my point is on this.
You can't live up to the Patriots standard.
Anybody who buys a team is going to say, we want to do what the Patriots are doing. And good luck.
Yeah.
You know, so unless if they haven't won 7 Super Bowls, it's a failure.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it hasn't been a failure. They failed way more often than they succeeded.
Shad Khan hasn't been great as an owner.
No.
The record speaks for itself.
But the idea that we haven't found Belichick, okay.
There's only one.
You know, there are very few guys. I mean, you were looking at Mike Tomlin last night, who is, what is he? He's not in his 30s, right? He's not 50 yet. He's not in his 50s yet.
That's crazy.
He's 40-something.
Yeah, that's still crazy.
And they were talking about how many wins he has and at what age. And I'm thinking, you know what? This guy's going to win more games probably than anybody. Mm-hmm. He'll be in Pittsburgh until he's for another 20 years.
Could be. He's 49.
49 years old, right. So easily, till he's 69 years old, coaches coach that late, sure, no problem, right? So 15, 20 more years in Pittsburgh, how many wins is he going to pile up there? I'll
probably
take Mike
a
Tomlin.
Decent amount.
What would you give for Mike Tomlin?
First round pick.
Yeah.
Would you give everything but Trevor Lawrence?
Yeah, probably.
Might. I mean, honestly, what are we talking about here, right? What is everything we've got getting us?
Again.
I know, that's a pipe
good
dream.
Organization, not good organization.
Well, they hired the right guy. I mean, you got to get lucky. I mean,
after they hired the right guy.
No, I understand
that. They just keep
that.
Doing it.
After that, yeah. Cower. And yeah. I mean, that's the good organization.
Okay,
doesn't
so
mess that
if,
up.
If the next guy in New England doesn't live up to Bill Belichick, do they hire the wrong guy? I mean, you know.
No, I'm not saying live up, but they hired guys that each had success. And each
sure
were
have.
Among
they
the best.
Ended up, yeah. It turned out, right, but you can't know how good Mike Tomlin is when he takes that
job.
You know what I mean? So they did a good job. They vetted him, and they picked the right guy.
Based on their track record, you felt good that the guy that they picked was probably going to be the right guy.
Right? If you're a Steelers fan? Anymore. Sick of them. Sick of them. They lost last night. You lost too, Pittsburgh. All right. Miles downtown next on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Miles.
Yeah, what's up, you guys? Calling from my daily dose of or my weekly dose of Mike Dempsey disagreeing with me. So I hope this goes well since you've not been disagreeing with everyone today. So we'll just see.
Don't say anything dumb and we won't have a problem.
All right, Drew. Look, I got two things. So one, I think that the stadium TIA Bank should now be known as Thieves Landing for the way that Shad Khan robs Jacksonville people of their money for $8 bottled waters and a decent football experience over the decade. And then also, I just would like him and the front office to really start to assess, like, when they let go of like these key people that, you know, that mean a lot to the or meant a lot to the organization. You know, like Mercedes Lewis, which, you know, he's still up there catching tutties and balls and Green Bay, but that's not really who I want to focus on. I just wish we could have done that, you know, that better for him because he won't even retire here at this point. But what I'm really wanting to talk about is Keenan McCardo, man. I've brought it up before. I really think that was Urban's first mistake and all of the talk about wide receivers not being able to get separation, this, that, and the fourth. Like, you know, the wide receivers were fine and honestly pretty good while we had Keenan here, whether it be like 2017 and then even last year, you know, there were guys catching all kinds of balls from different, you know, three different guys and they still look decent, but this year they don't look good at all. And so I mean, I know, and I know you guys do too, know Keenan personally, but I also know him personally. He's a good friend of my parents and I think that he would not have a problem with coming down here from Minnesota to coach again. And even if that means, I don't know about Brunell, but, I mean, maybe he would want to do it too. But whoever, I mean, the suck is so bad that I think that's where you start, which is Urban to correct his mistake and get Keenan back in here, and I'll take your comment.
I'm guessing Keenan's probably not on a one-year deal. Why would the Vikings let you have Keenan McCardell?
Yeah, I don't know.
Seems to be he's...
You'd have to hire him as your offensive coordinator.
Right, it'd have to
in order for him to be able to be released from that contract or to come here. Because you can...
Right.
You know, go if it's in a promotion.
Right, not a lateral move.
Yeah, not a lateral
Look,
move.
No
one's arguing about the Keenan
Right,
thing.
We all said at the time, we would love to see them. If there's any coach we want to see him retain, it's Keenan McCardo. But, you know.
It's worked out well.
Glad you know Keenan.
Yeah.
That sounds like Urban knowing Luke Farrell's family as well. So that's.
And Carlos.
He does know Carlos. Knows him well. Recruited him, as a matter of fact.
Andrew Norwell. He doesn't hide the running back. Norwell, though.
Yep. Let's move along. Kirk in Clarksville, Tennessee. Kirk, you're on Jaguars Today.
Morning, guys. Two words. Fire Meyer. I'll take your comments off the air.
Okay.
Those are two words.
Yep.
Yeah. I've already commented. I'm not firing him in the middle. What's the point of firing him now? Who are you going to put in charge of this mess? Let him ride it out for the next seven games. Let's see. I'm fine making a determination when the season's
Darryl over. Darryl Bevell, interim head coach.
Right. I mean, is that what you want?
Right. Sanjay Law, interim head coach.
All right.
That would make room for McCardell.
It would. Just make Roy Roberts the head coach.
Roy Roberts. And James the running back.
Can't be any worse, right?
Run the offense.
Isn't that what we always say? Can't be any worse.
Can always get worse, guys.
Can always get worse.
All right. Oh, yeah.
Let's say hello to XL Primetime.
Now, the two-minute drill. Brought to you by Tire Outlet. Tire Outlet is now hiring. Visit TireOutlet.com/careers. Equal opportunity employer.
All right, Josie is here. Hello, Joseph. How
Speaking
are you?
Of worse, it can always get
it
worse.
It can always Five get worse.
For the next 3 hours.
just when you think, because think about it now, I don't know what is still out there in front of us in terms of excitement level, but this team had, what, four games over a five-game stretch where they lost by 4 points or less, two overtime games, all that kind of stuff. And that was a lousy football team, and this one has made it look even worse.
Yeah, it's. I mean,
even though they've doubled the productivity.
Well, it'd be one thing, like I said, if you went out there, if you lost 17-6,
yeah,
and you're like, we just don't have an offense, we don't have the pieces, we cannot do it. But the defense is continuing to play well; they're still fighting. But you give up 30, and you give up a 13-minute drive, mm-hmm. and you consistently just hurt yourself with stupid penalties at the most inopportune times yeah. when you know, again, it wasn't the most important play in the game. They were going to punt it away anyway, apparently, but you don't have a punter on the field? I mean.
And you go back over a four-game stretch, no points in the lone win with Buffalo, you know, not counting Miami, but this last little stretch.
Right, no touchdowns.
No touchdowns. Then a junk touchdown against Seattle, a junk touchdown yesterday, and then the only other time they actually were productive was in the Indy game when they were down basically the same score that they were yesterday. So it's ridiculous. Offensively, the leadership, the coaching, all of it, really, you could throw darts at a lot of
things. I think we're going to be saying for the next 7 weeks that, yes, guys aren't getting open. Yes, they're not doing a good enough job to scheme them open. Yes, Trevor's missing some throws anyway. Yes, at times he doesn't have time. Yes. All those things are going to be true. But when you compound it by going out there and getting the stupidest penalties,
yeah.
I mean, not having the punter on the field to where Winger's like, look, nobody back here.
Logan's like the busiest guy on this football team.
How do you
he
not
know?
As D-Rock said, the other 10 guys knew. Yeah. They were out there. So
oh, my gosh,
they were
I wish
go
they had
it.
Snapped that ball without him there.
Oh, my God. That would have been so crazy.
Would have been in the top three lowlights in franchise history to see
what
that ball.
Was it 4th and 26, 4th and 24, whatever it was?
No, it was 4th and short.
Yeah, it was 4th and
short. Oh, no, okay. All right, yeah. I'm thinking of later.
That was right after Trevor had gotten tackled out of bounds and should have gotten the penalty.
Yeah,
correct.
Yeah, definitely should have gotten the penalty on that play, in my opinion. But, I mean, that gets buried in all the other –
doesn't matter. They get the penalty or not, they're going
to
lose.
How do you not throw one ball to Dan Arnold?
Oh, I totally agree. And, by the way, Marvin Jones – now, again, this was junk stuff, but back-to-back-to-back catches, those were his first targets of the game. In the fourth quarter,
mm-hmm.
when San Francisco says, let's see some clock run. Let's just play back, keep it in front of us. And that was the first three catches that Marvin Jones had in a row, which is it's ridiculous.
Momentum.
Yeah, yeah.
Watch out, Atlanta. We got Marvin hot now.
Yeah, so. You got
right. You got that and you got Dan Mullen. So
yeah,
got,
exactly.
I think you have enough to get you through.
You got troubles in both Vills, okay? This one and that one. So Duval and Hogtown, we'll talk to both of you today on XL Primetime. Betting odds on who's next, all that kind of stuff.
All right. Have a good show, Joe.
All right, fellas.
D-Rock, what do you got coming up at ESPN.com for Jaguar fans to really look forward to this
Surprisingly, nothing this week. We were told we need to spend some time with our families.
Oh.
And, yeah, it's really awesome. ESPN is fantastic about that kind of stuff. So there's readership numbers are always low around the Thanksgiving holiday anyway. So the games
are
Thursday.
Won't put out anything to read.
Well, yeah, well, maybe. but, yeah, so we'll pick back up next week. But
all right, well, happy Thanksgiving, D-Rock.
Yeah, and I want to wish you guys happy Thanksgiving. Always thankful for the Jags fans, even Doom. You know, because without you guys, I don't have a gig, and I appreciate you guys.
Right on. And look, wait till Wednesday when we do What Are You Thankful For as a Jaguar Fan.
Here we
okay?
go.
Because that's our annual tradition on the
I'm
Wednesday before Thanksgiving.
I'm thankful that I didn't have to buy breakfast today. That's what I'm thankful for.
You're welcome. You're welcome. And hey, Scamp, maybe you could pick up a little job on the way home, maybe a little work for food situation going on there. Scamp in the corner, man. I think he's cried himself to sleep. All right, that'll do it for us today.
Skip.
Check the tape Tuesday tomorrow. Must we? We must. Look, it's Gallows humor, man. We want them to win. I don't know if they're ever going to get there. I know people say, you know what, if you stick with them, when they finally win, it'll be so great. If they finally win, yes, it will. So you got that going for you right now, Jaguar fandom. Hang in there if you possibly can. We'll hang in there with you. For Tony Smith, for D-Rock, for E.T., I'm Mike Dempsey. Thank you for listening to Jaguars Today. Check the tape Tuesday. Coming up tomorrow on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Joe Jacksonville.